2 and verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. Whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat. But I am among you as he that serveth. We're just going to deal there tonight. Would you say amen to God's word?
Amen.
You may be seated. We talked about this problem of self-promotion that had to get settled before the day of Pentecost. The Lord had to deal with this, and we're going to talk about later that solution and how it comes when we deal with this passage. But we're looking at his instruction to them because there's a strife that they've got such a sense about them that they love a quarrel and contention, and that they're driven to it. I mentioned it Sunday. This love of contention. This word strife that is meant here, and they have this impetus in them that is driving them to fuss and to just, you know, kind of bicker among one another and agitate. You ever had those moods get a hold of you?
I have.
Yeah, I have to really be careful of that. Get in trouble. You can just get that mood that kind of wants to slip over you. You just want to be an irritant in somebody's life. You wake up and you feel like a pick box, that's what I call it. And you're just looking for someone to be an avenue that you could start a fight.
Right.
And I don't know, those are moods that come over. You can't let those things control you. I've learned in life when those times, when you're feeling that, and I start feeling that come, you better either run or duct tape your mouth shut, one or the other. But get out away from folks, because you're going to be stirring up contention. And that's what's happening among them. Who's going to be the greatest? And it's amazing that they could do that at such an hour. And the serious at the moment, as he has given them bread and wine and drink, talked about the New Testament, the covenant, and his blood, of betrayers among them. I mean, difficult news. He's been telling them now for days, I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified, and they're struggling with it. My, it's a dark hour, it's a difficult hour. And things happening that they can't grasp, but I thank God for these men. I'm going to say some things about them later, that right now I'm speaking about them negatively, but there's something out of this here that we'll draw a little while later that's positive when we deal with that last message, probably Sunday morning. But he's giving them this instruction here and tells them that, and in light of what's going on in this bickering the Lord knows about, he tells them to not be like the world, and we talked about that, but be as the younger. Be as the younger. And, you know, I was thinking some more about a young person and a child. I've got some grandchildren, and at times they're just as contrary as contrary can be. I mean, just as ornery, we say in West Virginia, just ornery and rotten to the core. And sometimes a head as hard as an old piece of granite somewhere, and other times just as sweet as sugar and molasses, and just roll out. It's amazing all of that can come out of such a small package, but it can. And you can have this beautiful little package that can just emit such sweetness and tranquility, and in just a little while can make you pattern a nest of hornets. And just turn you upside down and make you want to grab you about 10 switches and go after it. But at the same time, there's something elementary in children that is present, and I've observed it. They really have a desire to please. They want you to be pleased with them. And they really want to know how to please you. And if you will administer proper biblical loving discipline, you can train them how to please you, and they'll do it. They'll do it and be happy doing it. There is that element in their life, because you notice a child when you begin to tell them something, or they'll do something, they come to you, look grandchildren with good sets of lungs, good voice boxes, and walked in. There's no secret with her. And I just walked in, and it didn't matter who the crowd was, that she hollered out, "Ah, Grandpa!" And everybody around, I all of a sudden was the focus of attention. And everybody's looking at Grandpa because little Amelia has opened up her voice box and let it roll. She didn't care. There's that kind of innocence. There's that kind of purity. There's that kind of simpleness. There's that kind of not worried about the opinions of those around you that is pure. There's something about that. We adults sometimes, we get tainted. We get too much concerned about things around them. But they're unattached to that. They're free from all of that. They're not burdened by social stigmas and by opinions of the world that's around them. They really care about one thing, and that's the thing that makes them happy. Glory to the Lamb of God. I tell you, if an older man can get a hold of that, you can retain that from your younger days. If you can retain that kind of concept, that you maintain that simplicity of life, that simpleness that says, glory be to God. Yes. No matter if you're in Walmart, it don't matter where you're at, you're just happy because you want to please God. You got one thing in focus, and that is the pleasure of your Lord and your Savior. Amen. And please, of those around you, do not matter. And that child will come to you. They'll call her a picture, and they want you to see it. What are they looking for? Why are they doing that? I don't think it's so much that child's going to say, they're just full of pride. They don't even know what pride is. They don't understand moral concepts. They don't understand the difference between pride and between humility. They don't know any of that. No, what they want is they're looking for your approval. They've done something, and they want to know that you are approving of what they do. They're seeking that approval, and they're looking for it. They want to please. And I'm telling you, God said, let the elder be like the younger. Yeah. Let us be men. No matter how old we get, no matter how far down the road, there's still a passion in us that wants to please God and to please our brothers for the sake of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ain't nothing more contrarier and ugly than somebody that don't want to do nothing but please themselves. You see an old person get cantankerous, and they get all cranked up and cantankerous, and they get old, and they don't care about nobody or anything, and they don't have any desire to please. The whole world can just fall into a pit, and they can care less about it. There's no sense in which they want to reach out and serve anybody or help anybody anymore. They just feel like they've got to the place that everybody owes them everything, and everybody owes them their respect and their retirement, and to sit down somewhere and get out of my face and get out of my hair and get out of here. I don't want nothing to do with you. And I've done it. I put in my time. I put in my share. Ain't nothing worse than that right there. But God said that old man, he may come to that place where he is aged and dignified and should be honored and should be respected and should be, his example should be followed, and he should teach the younger. But let him be full of that youthful sense and he wants to please God, and he wants to honor God and give him glory, and he wants to be pleasing in the company of others.
Yes. Boy, amen.
Maintain that as a child. Then he said, just be a servant. Be as the servant, he said. Be as one who serves. And we're going to talk some more about that. You know, the Lord talks about how that Jesus came to this earth and became, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Servant. Jesus said, I'm among you as he that serveth. Son of God came not to be ministered to, but to minister to others, to give his life a ransom, the Bible says. He came to serve, and a tremendous service that he has done for us. Ooh, glory. I'll ask you, if Jesus hadn't done what he did for you, where would you be?
Oh, amen.
And how much did it cost you? I don't mean, well, I had to give up my everything. I had to give up my life. You can give up anything. You gave up a mess. That's what you gave up.
Yeah.
You gave up a life of bitterness. You gave up junk. You traded a trash heap for a gold pile. You traded a bunch of mess for something that was sweet and glorious.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I laid hold of it by faith. But in Paul, that same passage, Paul talks about Christ becoming a servant. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he's talked about, he said, let each esteem others better than themselves.
Yeah.
Let each esteem others better than themselves.
Yeah.
That's a servant's mindset. Right. Now, he didn't say, let each say that others are better than themselves. He didn't say go around saying, well, John's better than me or George is better than me. That's comparing yourself among yourselves.
That's right.
That's not what he said. He said esteem them.
Yeah.
That is, look at them and consider that they are of a greater value than you.
Yeah.
And that you can minister to them even when you're hurting. That you can help them and take care of their needs even when your needs may go lacking. That you are able to put them first,
yes,
and put yourself second.
Amen.
You're able to fix their sink while your sink is still leaking.
Oh.
Take care of your second. I'm telling you, you esteem them better. You esteem them worthy of honor.
Right.
You esteem them worthy of dignity. You esteem them.
Right.
And you consider that they are worthy of your respect. They're worthy of your investment.
Yeah.
They're worthy of your time. They're worthy of your energy.
Right.
And that you're going to lift them up in the sense that they are better than you. Not in that you go around saying that, but that that your mindset toward it is that I am going to do this for them because they are of value. They are of value. And we're going to talk about that and deal with it now a little bit and go a little bit deeper into this mindset and this business of humility. This is a time for me to preach on it because it's in this passage, and I'm just taking it the way God's bringing it to me tonight. So you just hang in there, if you will. We'll talk about humility and two things, that the concept that comes out of that. But it's the greatest, most wonderful of virtues, just as pride is the root of sin. Humility is the very root of holiness and righteousness. You can't even repent without humility. You can't believe in Christ without humility. You can't deny self without humbling yourself. How do you talk about it? How do you express it? If you preach about it, you're thought to be proud. And it's always, and if you preach about it, the guy that's proud usually don't like it and gets upset, and the guy that's humble, you know, he may dig a little bit deeper in the well, but there always becomes this sense that it's always for the other fella. But I don't want you to think of the other fella tonight. I want you to measure yourself as we talk and try to, it's a wide concept, but I just want to try to hit some things a part of this business of humility. Before I do, I want to talk about this business of pride. I'm not going to go into depth because pride is the opposite of humility. But I want to hone it into you to understand. You see, you won't seek humility unless you understand how wicked pride is. And I'm just going to read a few verses of scriptures. I just want to read to remind us the root of sin is pride. Pride is the invention of the devil. Doesn't exist in the character of God. God is not proud.
Man.
God is not arrogant.
Right.
Pride did not come from his nature.
Right.
It came from the devil.
Yeah. Right.
The Bible said it in Ezekiel. His heart was lifted up.
Yeah.
In the day he thought he trafficked his wisdom, and because of his beauty, the Bible said his heart was lifted up. That's pride.
Yeah.
He's the one that started. He's the father of that lie. He's the father of that concept and the inventor and the promoter of it. And if we can't see how ugly it is, we don't like it when we recognize it. Even the world, many times, if there's some outright act of arrogance and pride, the world itself will condemn it. But pride is so multifaceted. It puts on so many different cloaks.
Whoa.
It wears so many different garments.
Right.
And sometimes it's not easy to detect. Sometimes you can't see it. Matter of fact, you can hide it. You can hide it in a heart and have a heart full of it while your outward is modest, while your outward is portraying some kind of modest, humble appearance. There can be a heart that's lifted up. They would have looked at the Pharisees and you would have thought they were the greatest, most righteous, holy men in the world. And God said they're full of pride. They're full of pride and iniquity. So, I want you to see this for a moment. Listen, I'm going to tell you, pride will slip in. It's like a mass. I'm telling you, you can
think you got your house sealed up, buddy.
Yeah.
When I worked on my house and I sealed every crack I could find in that place. But I never have been able to keep a mouse from getting in. They find a hole where there is no hole.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they can get in the smallest of cracks that you think are insignificant. They get that little nose hair through, and they're through it. And that's the way pride will come. So I want you to listen. Proverbs 12:3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Oh God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. Psalm 86:14. So listen, the proud man is someone who has not set God before him. So he doesn't look at God. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't see God and have him in his vision and has not set God before him. Psalm 119:21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. The proud man is cursed by God, and he errs from the commandments. He doesn't keep the commandments of God. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Psalm 10:4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Or another way of saying is that God is not in any of his thoughts. That doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't think about God, or that or even that they acknowledge that there is a God. But the idea is that God has no effect in his thoughts. God is not there. Whatever that man thinks is based in wickedness. It's based in selfishness. Whatever drives him has nothing of the mark of God upon it. Has nothing of the character or the stamp or imprint of the divine upon it. It's all flesh. It's all human. It's all satanic and demonic, if you will. God is not in any of this man's mind, and therefore he is pure human and pure devil, if you will. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble and spirit. All the way throughout Proverbs he talks about the honor is before humility. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Again, in the Old New Testament, you'll find it again and again how that God is against the proud. Where he said that God, a couple of times, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. I mean, over and over again, that pride heart, that heart of pride. What is that pride? That pride is that heart, that resistance, that spirit. It's that mentality that resists the will of God. It resists the government of God. It resists the authority of God. It resists the dominion of God. It resists, if you will, the invasion of God. That God has the right to invade us. Oh, glory. I'm telling you, he's got the right. You have no private place that God cannot enter. I can do that from you. I can tell you that my bedroom is off limits to you. I can tell you that this part of my house is not your business, all right? That's me. That's for me. That's for my wife. And the world would do well to learn that principle, I'll tell you. And that this place is off limits to everybody else. But I can't shut God out of my bedroom. I can't shut God out of my house. I can't shut God out of any part of my life. I do not have a place where I can say, God, you've got no right to invade my privacy. There is no privacy of a holy and just God who is pure and knows all things. And I ask you, what have you got that you would not want him to see?
Amen.
That spirit that raises up, sometimes it takes the form of just a little snub. Sometimes it takes the form of when the word comes forth and pricks the heart and says you need to change here. It's just that little bit of resistance.
Right.
It's that little bit that says, I don't know if I can do that. It's that hesitation to obey. It's that reluctance to yield the floor to God.
Now.
It's that little piece of you
existence, against the sovereignty of God Almighty and His holy and true. If God asks you to do it, it's good for you. God cannot ask you to do anything that would be detrimental to your good and to your eternal life with Him. We must learn that anything that resists the will of God is ultimately the sharing of the mind of the devil. That spirit that raises up and says, I ain't got to listen to my husband. I ain't got to obey my parents. I'm of age. I know better than they do. It's that spirit that says, he's just preaching. That dad wants to get me. It's that spirit that says that I'm not going to go and do what I need to do. I'm not going to go down there and pray. I'm not going to go to that altar and kneel. It's that spirit that says, I can make it by myself. It's that independent spirit.
Yes.
See, that's what pride is. It's the spirit of independence. I can do this little bit without God. You know you need Him in the tornado. You know you need Him when cancer's wrapped in your body. But you don't know you need Him when everything's going good and the bank account is full. And you got everything going good out here. And you got it all kind of figured out. And hey, it's on an even keel. And I can keep it here. You know, let me hold the steering wheel a while, God. I can take it. And I'm telling you, that's pride.
Yeah.
That's that thing that'll mess you up. And God hates that spirit. You hear me? You hear me? That spirit that says that I can't yield to someone else. That spirit that says that nobody can tell me what to do. That spirit that says I don't need to be corrected. That spirit that says and turns and puffs up that neck and spits it high and says, huh, I know as well as you do. That spirit, my friend, is not of God. It didn't originate with God. It originated in the heart of the enemy of God. And we want nothing to do with it. And we got to recognize every form it takes.
Amen.
We got to learn to recognize every partial and every passion of it. And say, dear God, crucify it and kill it in my heart. I want nothing to do with it. Which will hinder me from receiving the grace of God.
That's right. Amen.
It's that spirit that defends self. It's that spirit that says, I'm not going to give up this little bit of ground right here. I'm not going to suffer myself to be defrauded. It's pride. I'm telling you, it takes every form imaginable.
Yes.
Now let's talk a little bit about humility. We've got to get a hold of this. We've got to get a little deeper. I'm going to scratch the surface. I promise you that's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to scratch the surface. But I want to talk a little bit about, first of all, what humility is not, because there's some mistaken ideas about humility. And in the church world, sometimes we've adopted the world's mindset of humility and not the Christian mindset of humility. So I'm going to tell you a few things about what humility is not. Humility is not self-deprecation. What do I mean by that? Humility is not going around talking down about yourself all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm nothing. Well, I'm of no value. Well, I'm just no good for anything.
Come on.
Yeah. If I could be worth anything, then I could help somebody. And that's selfishness, and that's actually a form of pride.
Right.
What you're saying is I'm not getting enough attention. Because the tendency is when you say, oh, I'm just a nobody, is that arm goes around, oh, now come on, you know better than that. That's what you were wanting, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
That's what you were after. You were after that confirmation. You were after that arm around your neck. Because there was some insecurity in you.
Yes.
And that insecurity comes, and I'll show you that later. That insecurity comes because you're proudful and you haven't surrendered yourself to God. And there's pride in your life that's got to go. So pride or humility, Jesus Christ, and He's my example in this. There is none more meek and lowly as the Savior.
Amen.
You will find none. Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Jesus outdid him. Howard, tell you. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Not just in attitude and that, but in heart. Where He had it is where it counted, and it revealed itself on the outside. But Jesus never went around talking.
is not humility.
That's right, man.
Humility is not a denial of one's identity, position, or ability. Some times we think because a man has an ability, he should never say anything about it. That's not humility. Now you can boast about it and be wrong. But if a man has knowledge, he has knowledge.
Right.
He doesn't have to deny that he has that knowledge in order to be humble.
Right.
If he's gifted, he's gifted. If he's talented, he's talented.
Right.
Now, for him to go around and boast about that is proudful.
Yeah.
For him to go around and shove that in people's face is proudful.
Yeah.
But for him to utilize that for in a way that is profitable and beneficial to others,
for him
to take that knowledge and to reach out and to touch the lives of others with it, whenever that he has an ability to do something and is in a group where that ability is needed, and he exercises that to the glory of God in the spirit of service and meekness. That is grace, my friend, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Amen.
You don't have to deny who you are to be humble. You don't have to deny your ability to be humble. Jesus never went around and said, well, I can't really heal. He healed.
Right.
He said, come on, and I'll heal you.
Right.
He said, if you can believe, all things are possible.
Right.
He said, the leper said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Come on.
And Jesus said, I will.
Glory.
He said, whatever you ask the Father, in my name, I will do it.
Amen.
I will do it, that the Father may be glorified.
That's right.
Son,
amen.
He never went around denying who he was. He never went around denying his ability to heal men. Cleansing, he never boasted about it either.
That's right.
But at the same time, he never denied it. When he was in the house and his ability was needed, he exercised it. He didn't say, well, I really don't want to do that because I might be a show-off. He said, bring him to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Looked at the hard heads around and said, how long have I got to put up with
it?
Come out of that boy.
Yeah.
Come out of him, I say. And he did it. He exercised it because a need was there. A father was in anguish. A boy needed delivered of the demons that was in him. And Jesus never said, now I've got to make sure I do this in a way that I'm not really boasting here. I don't really want to make myself look bigger. He was who he was. He's the Son of
God.
Shine your glory. Shine your glory, Lord. Shine your glory. And that's what we've got to recognize. It is what it is. I mean, if the man has an ability and God's called him, get out of his way and let him do his work.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Yes.
Humility is not modest actions. It may involve modest actions. Because we think because on the outside you're doing something that's humble in its appearance, you're doing it in a way that is not braggadocious and arrogant and cocky, as we would say, like an old strutting rooster. But oh, that man is humble. That man may be the proudest man that's in the group. Mm. You can be proud of your humility.
Yeah. Yes. Come on.
And his humility is not coming. He has no humility in his heart. He's full of pride. Mm. And he's acting that way because that way he knows gets the stamp of public approval.
Yeah.
Because he knows if he can do it in a such a way that he is not trying to be noticed, then he can win the approval.
Yeah.
And that's a proud heart. That's a proud heart. Because the humble man isn't looking to win the approval of men. He seeks only to please God
and
give his approval. And he'll just move and do it. He'll just move and do it. It wasn't proud when George Mueller was on the ship in the fog. He had an appointment and in such a place, and there was a fog that had settled in and the ship couldn't go anywhere. And if the fog didn't lift, he was going to miss his appointment. A certain man was there and he looked at George Miller. He said, do you want for me to pray? And he said, no. Because you won't believe.
Come on, brother.
Mm.
Wow.
He prayed. The fog instantly lifted. The ship went on. He made his appointment. That's not pride. That's not pride. That's faith. It's how it operates.
Right.
You know what? We're going to deal with that. You'll get the pictures. We go on. But just don't think. You say, well, I did it modest on the outside. We do that. You can make that effort to try to really make it look good on the outside. But if it isn't something that's flowing natural out of your heart,
right.
I'm telling you something, folks, you're just putting it on the outside.
outside. It's just something you're trying to paint up. Get it on the inside, and it'll automatically operate that way on the outside. Amen. You will have modest actions when there's a modest heart. I don't believe you can have a humble heart and have an outside that's screaming, "I'm for sale," either. I don't believe that. That's why I don't believe that you can have that flesh just all open for everybody to see it and just paint it up and take the clothes off and let everybody see it. You're screaming, "I want to be noticed." You ain't got a humble heart. You ain't got a modest heart. I'm going to tell you right now, when you get a modest heart, it'll result in modest actions. But you can't have modest actions without a modest heart.
Amen.
Humility is not the absence of strong emotion, such as anger. We look at a person that's real quiet and doesn't say much. Don't ever seem to get upside. That's a real humble man. Not necessarily. Maybe a very proud person. Maybe very proudful in their heart, in their spirit. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ was a man of emotions.
Amen.
And again, there was none more humble than him. He wasn't proud when he wound the whip and walked in or howled or walked, trotted, ran, whatever he did when he went in that temple and he turned over the money changers' tables. He wasn't proud whenever that emotion of anger swelled up within him when he said, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days or not? Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or not?" And they answered him nothing. The Bible said because their hearts were hard, and he looked around them being angered at the hardness of their heart. And he said to that man, I don't think he said, "Stretch forth your hand." I think he looked and said, "Stretch forth your hand." He was upset with that crowd. That wasn't being proud. That was a sense of justice that reigned in him. There was a sense of things. There ought to be things that cause us to be angry. I'm telling you, if you never had any righteous anger in you, I wonder if you've got any conviction in your soul. If there ain't nothing in today's world, and don't ever get under your holy skin, then I'm going to tell you something right now. You ain't got no holiness under your skin. And there's so much injustice around you. Sometimes the thought of it will stir me up. I feel like grabbing a throttle somewhere and just choking it, because what in the world are they doing? I've never seen such idiocy. I've never seen such ludicrousy in all of my life. We've lost our marbles.
Yes.
It's not proud. It's a sense of this world.
Right.
It's crazy. And the justice of God rises up. God himself will rise up and condemn the proud.
Right.
He will laugh and mock when their calamity comes.
That's right.
Lifted up his voice in prayer and praise. He cried with strong tears. He got angry. He showed deep joy and emotion. He showed great compassion towards people, so that he was moved with compassion. So that humility is not the absence of emotion, even strong emotion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Humility is not the ability to never offend and always be agreeable to others. Seem to be those folks in life that never seem to anger a soul in the world. I'm going to tell you, I ain't one of them. I've angered a plenty. But they're just so easy going that they never ruffle anybody's feathers. Maybe some folks that are meant to be that way. Maybe God gave that to them as a gift. But I want you to understand that that sense in their life doesn't necessarily mean that they are humble. It could mean they're fearful. It could mean they're complacent. It could mean they lack courage in their hearts and strong conviction. Because I will tell you, if you got any convictions in this wicked world in which we live in, somewhere you're going to ruffle a feather. If you stand up for what you believe, if you stand up to say to somebody, "Sir, I hate to tell you, I ain't interested in being ugly, and I ain't going to be mean to you, sir, but I tell you what, if it means you cut my pay, this is what I'm going to do, because this is what God wants me to do." You understand? God's first in my life and not you. I ain't being ugly. I'm not being proud. That's not being proud or arrogant. That's being right. And that's being true to the one that died for you. And I want you to understand that Jesus Christ offended people. There were folks that got angry in his presence. There were folks that got so angry that stones up and wanted to throw him at him and kill him. There were folks that got so mad at him and took him out to the brow of the hill and would throw him down the hill and cast him out like trash and refuse. In the Bible said at one point, the Pharisees got offended and his disciples said, "Hey, Jesus," they were disturbed by, "don't you know you offended them?" He didn't say, "Oh, I'm offended them. Let me go apologize real quick. I'm so sorry I preached it that way. I should have said it more softly. I'm so sorry."
Come on, brother. Amen.
He said, "Leave him alone."
Yeah. Right.
The blind leaders in the blind. Blind lead the blind off bullet hole and bitch.
Yeah.
We gotta find the real humility that is rooted in the conviction of Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's rooted in the holy conviction, Lord. And has the holiness of God imprinted on the heart. And the love of God that controls our life, so that I am controlled not by modest actions, but by the Holy Ghost that leads in me, Lord, to the love of God. And I am fully yielded under the dominion of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Humility is not the absence of the assertion of convictions. Today, if you stand up for what you believe, you're proud. Now, the world can do it, and they're not proud. But if we do it, we're proud.
Yeah.
We're bigots.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're full of arrogance. Yeah. No, sir. There ain't nobody stood up more for what he believed in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And again, there wasn't a proud bone in his body. There wasn't a proud. You look at the character of Jesus Christ. We made him into some barefoot, long-haired hippie that's some kind of Anglo-Saxon white man walking around and ain't never had a callus on his finger, and his fingernails are so white and pure and look like he got a manicure and comes out and walks so soft and just tiptoes around like some little sissy. That's what we painted him out to be. But he was a man who had hands that had been scarred from being in a carpenter's shop. He was a man that had been out in the sun. He slept in the desert and in the wilderness. He knew what it was to endure the hardships of life. He went many times without food. He walked in hardship. I'm telling you, just bare one set of clothes. This man was a man who lived a rugged life and a life that was a life of discipline.
Yeah,
he looked, by the time he was 33, he doesn't look like he was 50 years old. Don't talk to me about some kind of sissy that was afraid to assert himself. When he said that he went in the temple, he did it under his own authority and the authority of the Father. He didn't ask a Levite. He didn't ask
a priest.
He didn't ask the Sanhedrin. He just did it.
Yes.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He didn't have any problem telling folks where they were wrong.
Yeah. Right.
He didn't do it in a wrong spirit. He didn't do it in a bad spirit. He didn't do it in a push you down spirit. He didn't do it in an I know better than you spirit. But he still did it.
Amen.
So there must be a way to preach conviction without being a bigot.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
There has to be a way to be truthful.
Yeah.
To be frank.
Right.
To be real. To assert truth. To preach truth.
Amen.
And not be proud.
That's right.
Amen.
Humility is not mere obedience to an authority. Do everything your husband tells you. You can do everything your army sergeant tells you. You can answer his every command and do it with the greatest respect and be the proudest man in the face of the earth. You can be proud of your obedience. And you're not obeying because you respect and honor authority, but because it's just some plan, some method in your life or station where you're at. Put you in a different set of circumstances, and that rebellion will manifest itself somewhere. So, although humility will result in obedience, obedience does not necessarily mean that you're humble. You can obey and be full of pride. You can do what your authority says while in your heart there is still a resistance of the will. Hello, am I with you tonight? Or
yeah.
Are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, praise the love of God forevermore. So I'm going to tell you, what is this? I'm not going to have time. I'm going to deal with it a little bit later, but I'm just going to introduce this. So what is this humility? Those are some things that it's not, because Jesus Christ, he did all of those things.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, none obeyed better than him. But I would tell you that his humility flowed from the inside.
inside. So what is humility? It is first of all the very spirit of Christ. And you will never know it until his spirit is in you.
Amen.
And until you are in that spirit. And until he abides in you and you abide in you, you will not know humility. You hear me? No sinner knows humility. I don't care what form his sin takes. I don't care if he's the good Joe in the corner or if he's the mass murderer that's sitting up on death row. It doesn't matter where he's at. He's proud in heart. He hasn't surrendered his will to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is full of pride. The only way you can be humble is to know the one that is humble. The only way you can be lowly is to know him that is God. And that is Jesus Christ. You must abide in the vine. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in me. You cannot bear fruit. If you're not cultivating your relationship with Christ, you're not growing in humility. Mm-hmm. You can't learn it outside of Christ. Sure. Jesus invited them. He said, I'm meek and lowly.
Yes.
He said, come and learn from me.
That's right.
He didn't say, come and learn my methods. He didn't say, come and learn my actions. Right. He didn't say, come and learn my modesty. He said, learn me.
Yeah.
Woo, glory.
Hey.
Get attached to my heart.
Yeah.
Get in the yoke with me. Spirit. Fellas, I didn't come to condemn, I came to save. I didn't come to call God home. I came to save. I'm sure forward to the Lamb.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you sometime later, he's going to send a fellow by the name of Philip down there, and he's going to have one of the greatest revivals in a crowd that wouldn't let him stay.
Yes.
They're going to get saved by the John. They're going to get baptized in water.
Amen.
They're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. They're going to get full of the love and the life of Jesus Christ. And they're going to know him. They're going to hear the glorious gospel of God and be converted unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I am telling you that you've got to walk, you've got to know his spirit, and you cannot learn it. You cannot learn it by just reading a book. You can learn certain principles, but you've got to have the spirit of Christ that flows in you, and you've got to keep that spirit flowing. Anything that agitates your spirit, anything wrong that gets in there and hinders that relationship with Christ, you've got to get it out. To know that humility is the very spirit of your Savior. The Bible said he has shown thee, O man, what is good. What did the Lord require of me? To justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah.
To walk humbly with your God. Certain groups, you know, walked with them.
great sovereign who controls everything, who that the nations to him are of no more weight than a drop of water in the bucket.
Right.
He takes the mountains as nothing. He weighs the hills in scales as nothing to him. He can comprehend the dust, all the dust of the earth, in just one measure. My, I'm telling you, he can do that. He meets out the heaven with the span. I'm telling you, this immense, vast, magnificent, glorious God that no man can look on and live. Oh, my. And Moses has to behead in the cleft of the rock while he goes by, because his glory is too great. He dwells in light.
Hallelujah.
Approach to. He is so holy that no man can even get in his presence and not be condemned by it.
Yeah.
The greatest of prophets is in his presence and say, woe is me, I'm undone. Woo. I'm a man of unclean lips.
Come on,
people. And that God says, I want to walk with you.
Yeah.
When you take that hand, it ought to be with holiness. It ought to be with humility.
Woo.
God will let me.
Oh, hallelujah.
That I can journey through life. Say, God, let's take a right turn here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take a right turn here, son. That's not going to fit for you. We're going today. He's got the destiny. That's why you have to be humble. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
You know what's best.
Yeah.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Amen.
I truly believe Romans 8:28.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, not only think, but we have to remember, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called, according to his purpose. Do you know that all things, when you're walking with God, are working together for your good? You see, when you walk humbly, you don't assert or impose your knowledge on the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
You don't tell God that, hey, God, things aren't going on right here. You need to, you know, you need to do this or that, and something's got to get fixed here. I don't like the way this is happening. That doesn't work that way when you walk with God Almighty. You see, that Spirit of God will teach you, and he knows what's best in all things. He's working, he's directing, he's leading, he's guiding. And if you let him do it, when you get on the other side, you're going to be a better man.
Yes.
You're going to be a better woman.
Amen.
It's going to produce a greater good in you. It's going to produce a greater grace.
Praise God.
But you got to be humble enough to know that his ways are higher than your ways.
Amen.
His thoughts are higher than and he alone has the sovereignty and is able to shape your life again.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 It is the Spirit of Christ. Walk humbly with your God.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
people looked at Brother Woods and thought I was nuts because there's certain folks I looked at and said, no, they're not saved because they don't have the Spirit of Christ. There's some things that are basic. When you get saved, there's going to be a humility that's going to manifest itself. There's going to be a brokenness.
That's right. That's right.
Let me tell you something. You don't get saved. You don't find a man who genuinely gets saved and just runs out and spits in people's face and tells them they're going to hell.
No.
He runs out and cries and said, Jesus did this for me. Let me tell you what he did for me.
Yeah,
he can do it for you. He can do it for you. Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Oh, that's right.
How did you get where you are tonight? Did you get there by walking with Jesus? Or did you take a turn down the wrong road? That spirit that's swelling up, that spirit that's in you now, whatever's driving and motivating you now, is it the Spirit of Christ that cries for more of His Word? It cries for more of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
It cries for old-fashioned Pentecost movement. Oh, or is it that spirit of the world that cries for confirmation of self? Is it that spirit of the world that says, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing? Is it that spirit of the world that says, I got it all together, I don't need any more of this? What spirit is it that drives? I'm going to tell you, when you walk with Jesus, and if we walk with Him together, we will be bound together.